All right, you're listening to a documentary podcast. I am your co-host, Joshua LeBure.
And I'm Catherine Sullivan.
And we are getting back in this thing.
Yes, back for what is this technically will be number 3.
And so we're just the podcast where we talk about documentaries as they are pieces of cinema and not just information delivery vehicles.
Yes, I think the ones in this episode, at least the depending on which one we start with, is very much, I feel like, much more cinema than the other one.
Yeah, very much so. Although, I do think that, so both of the films we're talking about today, the two films we're talking about are, because generally on each episode we pick two films and then we kind of pick films that kind of we think would go together to kind of watch back to back. And so today we're going with Smoke Song to Sisterhood, which played at Sundance. It played at a few other film festivals and has kind of been making the rounds in that world. Hasn't had a theatrical release yet, but I know it has been picked up by distribution. And then the other one is Venus. I think the subtitle is Let's Talk About Sex, which is a very different film, but that covers similar ground and is similar in some ways, but vastly different approaches.
Yeah, I think thematically, they're very much in line. One just explores a few more subjects about, like, I guess, women's identity than the other one does. But I felt I like to take notes that I kept writing a lot of the same keywords for both, of just about sort of the themes and the emotions you feel while watching it.
Yeah, I feel really good about, you know, that I am the authority to talk about both of these films. So,
well, I'm actually, it was interesting because I saw the Smoke Sauna Sisterhood when it was released with Sundance. And I think I brought it up on a previous podcast. And I'm curious, like, yes, it's about women, I think more relatable to women, both of these films actually, but what a male's perspective would be. Because I do think a lot of these feelings and conversations are related so much to, like, societal, like, masculinity. Whether it's bad or good, I still am curious what someone else who's not a woman would think.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into that. But first, let's start off with, has there been anything that you've seen recently that's kind of stood out to you?
Yes. Well, luckily, now that I'm back in Seattle, they show quite a few documentaries, and I always just love going to the theater and do a lot better watching movies in a movie theater. And so I would say the best one I've seen was called Streetwise, and that came out in 1984. And it started off as these two photographers, Mary Allen, came to Seattle for Life magazine to just photograph what Seattle life was like, because it was becoming like the most livable city in the country. And then she was kind of shocked when she was hanging out like near the Pike Place Market area and was exposed to all these like homeless kind of traveling youth who were there. So she photographed them, and then the following year came back with her husband and they made a documentary. And it's probably one of the best documentaries, one I've seen about like youth, but also like youth experiencing homelessness. I liked how at times it almost felt like a narrative because the dialogue just flowed together so well. They really, I think, capitalized on like the making these kids like strong characters within the film. And you could also tell the filmmakers were very attached and cared for the subjects, even though they kept a distance. You could see they had quite a strong bond, which I think helped with like the authenticity and sort of the vulnerability and the things these kids were willing to show, because a lot of it like wasn't good. Like the girls were become like sex workers. All the kids were doing a lot of drugs. At the end, one of the kids dies. So but they were able to sort of get all that footage and I think edit it into a really good documentary.
I love Streetwise. It's definitely one of those films that the first time I saw it, it's one of those films where you're really just like, how did you get to make this film? And it's really a film about really it's about building trust and really about forming a relationship with the with the people in the film, the human beings in your film. And you know, she went on to make another film about one of the main girls that she followed in the film later, about Tiny was her name. There's a great Criterion edition of the film. It's beautifully remastered. It is lots of extra footage. It has the other film on it where you kind of get to catch up with her later on as she's an adult. Tiny, that is. And then, but yeah, this is just one of those films where you're just like, how were you able to capture this? How were you able to make something so raw and so just heartbreaking? And just kind of beautiful. It's just one of those films it's kind of a wonder that it ever got made and that it got to be so brutally honest. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was surprised I hadn't seen it before. I was like, wow, why haven't I seen this before? But I think I was reading they were able to get so much trust with the kids because when they were there photographing at the beginning, they would show the prints or even like while filming the actual film. And some of the kids, if they didn't like it, they would just rip it up. So I think that helped, I guess, the kids understand like this is their lives and their perspective, even though I think they didn't fully know what was going to be made of it. But yeah, it was interesting, that element of trust, because they had no trust for any like adults in their lives. Because
most of these kids didn't have trustworthy parents or any other people in their lives. Like a lot of times, you know, some of the parents were still like able to be contacted and stuff, but the life was so rough with them. They just stayed out of the house, and it was like easier for them to sleep on the street or to, participate in sex work and all of that stuff than it was for them to be home with their families. And it's a heartbreaking film, but it's so beautiful, and I definitely recommend anyone seeing it. For me, I have three films I kind of want to highlight. So two of them, I'm not going to get too much into them, but two of them I think we should do an episode about because they went really well together. One was called The Last Autumn. It was about sheep farmers in Iceland, and it was like their last time like moving the sheep and basically like herding them. It was very reminiscent of Sweetgrass, but there's like some almost kind of magical realism elements to it. It's a little bit more bringing in surreal elements into essentially verite documentary, which I really liked. It was beautiful, and it went really well with another film I watched called Geographies of Solitude, which I think I posted about Geographies of Solitude essentially as like, it feels like a film that's less about a place and more of a film that embodies a place. I mean, the amount of experimentation that went into making this film, first off, it's all shot on film. It's all shot on beautiful 16mm. She processed some of the film in like dirt and in like different grasses and like materials, like earth materials that were found on this island, and in horse poop on one of them, because there's a lot of horses on this. Like,
oh, wait a second. Sorry to interrupt. I saw this a couple months ago in Vancouver.
I loved it.
Yeah. I actually wasn't the biggest fan of it. I feel like it should have been 30 minutes. I don't know. I loved, the idea and the visuals, but I feel like I would have done better in more of like a museum, I don't know, like museum art sort of space.
It really pulled me in, though. It had me kind of gripped with it, just like maybe just like just the filmmaking aspect of it and less of the subject of the film. But yeah, I could see, I mean, I think that maybe it could, for me, like, I think most documentaries should be like an hour and 15 minutes at the most. yes. So an hour 45 of experience.
That's my criticism.
Yeah. An hour for.
I feel like every documentary I watch.
Good. I think that maybe you'd like Last Autumn then, because I felt like it was like really short and sweet. And it's very much a verite documentary that just pulls in a little bit of that experimentation, but it's pretty much just a verite, beautiful film. And then the other one I saw is kind of a mainstream film. It is a mainstream film. It was an HBO documentary, but it really pulled me in, and maybe just because I'm a Mary Tyler Moore fan, but being Mary Tyler Moore, I just thought it was a beautiful use of archival footage and home videos and stuff from Mary Tyler Moore over her life, and painting a picture of just kind of what it was like to be a woman in that industry in the mid-century, when she was the first woman to like be a wife on TV who wore pants when she was at home instead of a dress, and like to be the first woman who got to play like a single, you know, like 30 something woman in a city who wanted to have a career and wasn't obsessed with getting married. Like just those little things that we kind of take for granted nowadays. It was like amazing to kind of see that she was on the forefront of that. And then her transition from being a sitcom actor into going to Broadway and doing Broadway shows, and then becoming a more dramatic actress towards the end of her life with like films like Ordinary People. Beautiful film. And it's on HBO. It's, you know, it's, you can go stream it and learn a lot more about Mary Tyler Moore and get a lot of context for the state of feminism at the time.
I have one more to quickly reference if we have time. I went and saw the other day Desperate Souls, Dark City, and The Legend of Midnight Cowboy by Nancy Bersky. And I'd say, I guess because I had read the book that it's based upon, which is called Shooting Midnight Cowboy, and I love the film of the 60s and 70s, especially that film, I had pretty high expectations. And I'd say it felt more like a history lesson. I'd still recommend it, but similar to what we said earlier, it was hour 40 and should have been an hour max. Like, because they just used that extra time to sort of tie in a lot more political stuff going on at the time, where I feel like it should have just been more about the film in the context, I guess, of some of the things that they were able to push to actually get in a film, which I guess wouldn't have been accepted prior to that, but... Yeah,
I kind of wanted to go see it because they were doing a double screening with that documentary and showing Midnight Cowboy, and I wanted to see Midnight Cowboy in the theater, but I didn't end up going to the screening. But I will see the documentary when it's out, but I expect it to be one of those ones that I'll have on while I'm like maybe editing a podcast or something like that, and I'll have it on in the background and look up whenever they say something interesting.
I'll say that the interview style of like how extreme the close-ups are, I really loved, and it added the emotion it needed. But the parts were that are about Midnight Cowboy, I loved. And then when it diverted to something different for too long, I was just like, you know, we don't need to be talking. It's great. But like what Jane Fonda was doing with the Vietnam War, that just felt like a bit of a stretch. So if you want the history, I'd say read the book versus the anecdotes from the film.
Or just go see watch Midnight Cowboy.
Yes, that's that's better. Yeah. And then, probably better.
You know, if you want to see Jane Fonda, watch Tu Va Bien. Even though she came out and said she didn't like Godard, but hey, what can you do? And I understand why, because it's probably the same reason. I think I remember, was it you who didn't like Godard because of the Agnes Varda scene? Who was that?
I don't. That wasn't. Not me, because I like his films. Yeah.
Yeah, I love Godard. But I also understand why somebody wouldn't. But anyway, let's move on to our main films today. I think we should start with Smokes on a Sisterhood.
Sure. Yeah. Because that was actually my favorite of the two. So that's probably.
All right. So Smokes on a Sisterhood was directed by Anna Hintz. And kind of the synopsis is, in the darkness of a smoke sauna, women share their innermost secrets and intimate experiences, washing off their shame, trapped in their bodies, and regaining their strength through a sense of communion. And you saw this film at Sundance. I got to see it as part of the Seattle International Film Festival. And you told me about this film, and so I had it on my radar after that. And Honestly, it's a near perfect documentary in my opinion. I don't know.
No, yeah, I would say it's definitely the best film and documentary I've seen in a while, and probably now the top of my favorite documentaries. Like, I just think every element of it, just from the cinematography, the music, the location, the vulnerability and access, like, I don't think I had like a single criticism, and just was like, I don't know how long this one was, but like, never found myself being like, I'm getting a little bored or the pacing is off.
Yeah.
Even though it was very slowly paced.
It's definitely very intentionally paced, but it's definitely going on the model of kind of, it's a modern version of cinema verite, direct cinema, whatever you want to call it. It's very much like a camera in the room while people are talking. And they're in these smoke saunas, so most of the time people are literally baring their souls while they're, you know, bare naked with each other. And it's never salacious. It doesn't feel like it's trying to do anything other, you know, it's like real and honest, and you just feel like you're in this sauna with these women, and you see all the blemishes and it's sweaty and it's honest and it's raw. And but to me, what feels modern about it is just that I think that people still think that if you make a verite film, that it can't be pretty. But this film just proves that, like, you can make a cinematic film, cinema verite film, that's raw and honest and also gorgeous, because we have the ability to do that now. We have color grading and beautiful color grading and beautiful cameras that are tiny and can go in these small spaces, and it capture gorgeous images, and you don't need things that are, you don't need like crazy lighting setups. You don't need all this stuff to capture a beautiful image. And just the color grading in this film, the pace, the sound design, just the honesty from these women and just the things they talk about and the experiences they share. It's beautiful and it's profound.
And I think you can see, like, from those elements you're talking about with, like, just the sound and the camera work and just the environment, like, why this becomes a safe space for women to speak, because you just, like, see, like, such beauty. And even though it's like a little sauna hut in the woods, it feels like this, through those elements, like, this is the only place that this could actually exist and work.
Yeah. And me watching it as, you know, a male, you know, as a cis male, you know, maybe it's not the direct experiences that I relate to, but just the community aspect and the honesty that these people talk to each other in that kind of just intimate situation. Like, I think it's something that is beautiful and needed. And I see a lot of, you know, there's a lot of studies coming out about how, you know, how bad patriarchy is for men and stuff as well. And men don't have friends and they don't have these intimate conversations. And I've always been a person who is pretty honest and blunt with my friends. And I tell my male friends, I'll tell my friends that I love them, and regardless of gender. And I try to be honest and I try to be vulnerable with my friends. And I hope that I try to be a safe person that my friends can be vulnerable around me. And so I appreciate that in this film, that these women have that in this like space, and it's beautiful and it feels profound, and it feels, I feel thankful that, you know, as a viewer of a film, I was allowed in that space, to experience these conversations. 'Cause I think that it's important that, people talk about these things.
Yeah. I would say, even like as a woman, I find a lot of these things that were talked about, even women don't always go this in depth. Or maybe because, like, I think I like the progression of, like, it talks more about, like, birth and then, like, adolescence and becoming a woman, which they actually call an illness. Or a lot of the women have been, like, getting your period and, maturing is technically an illness. So then marriage, divorce, like, motherhood, loss of children, and then death. So it's like, I feel like because I haven't hit those later stages, I don't always know what those conversations are like. But I guess what I really appreciated is like there was they depicted just as much like listening as they did speaking. And I love the moments where you could see some of the women who I guess I don't know if like men can see it as well, but you're like, oh, you've experienced this, but you're not comfortable talking about it. There was, I think, one woman at the end, like, kind of laughed, but you could tell it was like an uncomfortable laugh. But I think it was really good that they still included that because, as much as I think the space was so important and sacred towards these women, like, this is like such a generational issue of how like women are suppressed and can't talk about these important things, or they're supposed to be like there's something wrong with you, or there's a lot of shame that you can't change generational issues within just a year of going to the sauna. But I do really like how a lot of the women did start to open up sort of at the end a lot. And then it's, yeah, just the listening element of like people would let someone tell their story and not say anything in return. But I think a lot of the women felt that sense of community and safeness. And I also think, yeah, the cinematography helps so much with that, with like even just like close-ups of the smoke or parts of the body in like a non-sexualized way, just, yeah, created such a rawness.
And I'm a big, I mean, and I think men should see this too, because I think men should be comfortable talking about periods and and whatever and these issues, and they should like come to terms with the fact that like we're all human beings and I don't know. I've just like I have a hard time with how men talk often, and especially when women aren't around, and I don't know. It's hard to articulate exactly what I'm thinking. But essentially, I think that this is a film that, most people should see.
Well, I agree. And I think it would benefit in the way of like women rarely can talk about this. Because, like I said, it's been passed on. And like, I like the part where the mothers are saying horrible things about themselves or beauty is important. So, like, if you hear that from your mother, you're going to feel the same way. So, men don't even hear, even though I feel like the patriarchy has created sort of the problems in this film about how women feel about themselves and their identity, men now never hear about how women are experiencing this and their vulnerabilities. And there's more to us than we're not just black and white. There's a spectrum and a lot of feelings. So, yeah, that's why I do think it would be really important for men to see this as well. I feel like it's also similar to Venus. I like how there's this overarch that the patriarchy has probably a lot to blame for these issues, but it never once outwardly blames or becomes aggressive. It's just like this is the situation.
I also appreciate this film because I think I've always been a person that thinks that it's weird how we treat bodies in general, like how much like judgment we put on bodies, and that's like regardless of who you are, like if you have a fat body or if you have like a bigger body or a body that doesn't look like others, or if you're have scars or burns or whatever. I just think that there's so much trauma that lives on the body, and there's so much judgment about how bodies should look. And a lot of that's perpetuated by whatever the current beauty standard is. And that's like, and then also there's like shame around like nudity, and there's shame around, there's just so much shame around bodies in general. And I think that tackling it straight on, like this film does, is pretty magical. And it like, again, it doesn't feel like sexy. Like, it's, I don't think that, you know, I didn't watch this film and I'm like, oh man, you know, or whatever. I don't know how to articulate it, but it doesn't, you know, and even if it was, that'd be a whole different story. Cause, obviously sexuality shouldn't be, shamed either, but I just think that, you know, it just shows that there's like different situations, I guess, that there's different, that it's just a body. Like, it really treats the body pretty matter of factly, I guess, is what I'm saying. And I think that that's an important thing because we're human beings who live in these bodies. So, I mean, you know, we live in these bodies, and why should we carry so much shame for our literal existence?
And that's why, yeah, I think the like sauna environment was so great for that, because it's just literally like, yeah, sweating all of that out, like such a big release. And the film felt like when you take a huge like breath out, like just this big exhale of all this stuff was stored in, but then also the physical aspect, you know, of like sweating it out as well.
I will say that this film did remind me of another one that I think I texted you about while we were watching, and I'm trying to remember the name right now. A Spell to Ward Off Darkness.
Yeah.
There was like some tone in this film or some imagery that was reminding me of this film I had just watched called A Spell to Ward Off Darkness, which is a hard film to kind of describe. It's almost like a vignette of a few different scenes.
It also looks like it's Estonian too.
Is that the same?
Is that, yes, Smoke Sauna's sister place? Is Estonia. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, because it's also a national heritage site too that's been preserved, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
The saunas.
So there is a sauna scene in that film, and I think that just like brought that back. And then there's like also an island that they kind of show, and then there's like a. And then there's kind of a black metal band. And then it's really interesting the way this movie like unfurls itself. But as I was watching Smokes on a Sisterhood, some of the imagery from A Spell to Ward Off Darkness was coming back to me. And that makes sense that it's like from the same area. So,
yeah, maybe it's the same cinematographer.
Could be.
Let's see.
But I think that, and then I think we should talk about the next film too. So the other one is a very different, approach to a film. So it's called Venus. The subtitle is Let's Talk About Sex. And essentially what they did is they did a casting call for an erotic film. These two women who made the film, they did a casting call for women for an erotic film. And then whenever they showed up, the actual film was the casting and essentially like the documentary that we're watching. And so they asked them questions about their sexual experiences and their lives and their life inside their body. And it's very different in the sense that like now we're in a very like constructed situation. It's very lit. It's like in this empty room, and it's very much just like a film of interviews. And generally I don't love sit down interview situations, but for some reason this really worked for me. I thought that it just felt like the people that came, you know, and maybe it's because they were actors and they were already knew they were gonna be in a film. Maybe there was something there, but I do feel like everybody was able to let their guard down even in this situation, and it still felt really raw. Obviously, it's not a stylized, it's not a particularly beautiful film, but there's something that feels special about it to me. I don't know how you felt about
it. Well, I love the color when it comes to the shooting. I think that like very neutral, flat look I always love, but I do very much think, because at the beginning they stated like this is a research project, and the format of the film definitely fit that. But then again, like one of my main complaints is always it's too long, and this one did feel a little long. I did really appreciate, I guess, a lot of these are the similarities to like Smoke, Sauna, and Sisterhood that I liked, how they chose different perspectives and kind of had an arc of the different parts of women's sexuality, ending with nudity, which I think had a very different impact than the other film. But I wish the pacing had changed a bit. Or like if you're gonna do a research project, like even though I like documentaries that aren't too in your face, it's like what was the like there was no like hypothesis or conclusion. And I get women's sexuality in the real world, that doesn't we don't know what that is. It's different for everyone, but I felt it was missing just a little something. As much as I found everything very relatable, it just needed something else.
Yeah. I had watched this a long time ago and I did not actually rewatch it for this, kind of on purpose. I don't know. I felt like I got, for me, the first time I saw it, I think because I just turned it on completely unexpected. I didn't expect anything, I guess. I just didn't know what I was turning on. And it immediately pulled me in, and just like the vulnerability of these people opening up, just really got to me, and it worked for me really well, actually. And I do see what you're saying. Like, I mean, obviously there could have been a little bit more play or some breaks in the interview because it really is just wall-to-wall interview. But I don't know what it was. Like, for some reason it didn't feel long to me when I watched it, and it really pulled me in and like made me feel like I just kind of witnessed something special. And then I was like, I haven't seen a lot of films that are just straight interviews that have made me feel that much. And I thought that that was like an interesting thing, because it kind of just like, you know, we talk about Weissman a lot, and I love Verite, I love direct cinema, I love things that experiment and play with like the form of documentary. So for me, just seeing something that did work, that was just like a bunch of random interviews, essentially, like people that were just kind of did not know what they were getting into. The fact that it worked on any level was, I think, maybe just surprising for me and made me feel like I saw something
Yeah,
special.
I do definitely agree that like this is one of the best interview film or interview like structured films I've seen, and it didn't feel like an interview. It just felt like a conversation, even though we didn't see the other side of it, and it did have an incredible sense of vulnerability. I think the hardest part was I do now remember I saw this film when it came out, and like in the moment it's like, oh wow, you don't hear these things being spoken about. This is so authentic and it is still engaging, but when you mentioned we should do this one, I had forgotten if I've seen it, which I don't always think is I guess, a good sign, even though I still love this film. And then comparing it to like Smoke, Sauna, and Sisterhood, which from like, I think a woman's perspective covers a lot of the same things when it comes to just how much shame we have within ourselves and our identity and where on the spectrum should we be? Like, if you're too sexual, that's bad. And then if you're not, that's bad. Like, what are we supposed to do? Because everything we hear, it's not enough or it's not good. And then them creating a space for women to talk about all this stuff and seem to open up the more and more as they went on was great. But Smoke, Sauna, Sisterhood kind of felt like it did the same thing, even though it was less about sexuality. But it incorporated all those other parts. But then I also don't think it's fair to necessarily hold like Venus up to the other film because there are few films like this with what. So that's like, you know, when you look at, yeah, Weissman films, a lot of Verite, it's like often made by men about very different subjects. And so these are probably the only two I know this way. So maybe I shouldn't criticize, I guess, Venus as much, but because, yeah, what how the woman
Well, I think
spoke,
if you're watching, if you're comparing,
yeah,
yeah, and sorry
that's
to
fair,
interrupt,
yeah.
I didn't mean to do that, but I, yeah, I think that if you're comparing the two, it's kind of, they're similar themes, but they're such different approaches that, you know, they're not there, you can't compare them, because Smokes on a Sisterhood really is just a on another level as far as filmmaking goes. It's just like a, that's a,
but I guess like the mad, oh sorry,
no, it's just like an incredibly special film, I think.
Yeah,
I think that, you know, Venus came out in 2016 and they probably filmed it a couple years before that, so we're probably looking at like 2014 2015, and
or they said they filmed from 2012 to 2015. Okay,
so yeah, 2012 to 2015, that's just like, you know, they, this was just like, I mean, 2012 is 10 years ago when they started this, you know, and even then the conversation was just so different. So it is cool to see that this was happening with this film. You know, Smokes on a Sisterhood is just now coming out, which, you know, is just like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to get with that, but it's...
I know they, yeah, well, Smokes on a Sisterhood, they did try, I guess this does, I guess, relay into your point, but they tried getting it made like a decade ago. It took quite a while. But I guess the one thing I was surprised with Venus is, like, I've spent a fair amount of time in Stockholm, and it seems there, like... like, women are much more, or just people in general, like, open with, like, nudity and sexuality, and it isn't so taboo. And so as much, even though this was, I think this was filmed in Copenhagen, I was surprised how suppressed a lot of these women felt, or overly, like, sexualized and so confused about it, when I was like, oh, they're so much more progressive there. But it's interesting that they actually weren't. And then... yeah, like as you said as well, like this was very far ahead of its time. And like, I, this is why I love like Scandinavian film, though, is that like, yeah, the Danish Film Institute like funded this, which is the government. And I can't imagine anything like that being funded by the US government.
Yeah,
like ever.
It's interesting to see these films and see that this like mentalities do exist outside of here, because I feel like America is so... our sexuality is such like a manufactured type of sexuality. And it's like so male focused and so commercial focused, especially, you know, and it's always been with like a puritanical undertone. And especially in cinema nowadays, you know, like sexuality almost doesn't exist in the mainstream. Like it's like not even discussed in film anymore outside of like small independent films. Even there, it's kind of gone. So I feel like just having the blunt conversations out there for people to hear is nice. But yeah, I mean, how many people are you going to be able to get to see a Copenhagen documentary, you know, about people just sitting talking?
I feel like people would last maybe like 20 minutes. I think the New York Times, when it came out, did like a snippet and put it together that did pretty well. But I could see this having difficulty reaching a lot of people when I think it should. But I guess one of the last things I'll say about the film is I found the end, though, like I'm glad I continued with it. But when I got a little bored at like minute 40, but the end was just so powerful. And I think that's what I separated it. If I'm just comparing Venus to Smokes on a Sisterhood, like, drew them completely apart, where like nudity was not a thing in Smokes on a Sisterhood. You saw it, but like even when they talked about like sex or sexuality, them being naked, it just didn't even play a part into it. Like it just felt, yeah, like it wasn't important. You didn't notice it. Where at the end of Venus, like the filmmakers asked the woman if they can take like a nude portrait, and the woman accept, or like the women do it but in different forms of undress, and even the ones who are like fully nude, you can see how some are very uncomfortable. Like it isn't until like the last woman, and it's interesting as I find their uncomfortability is what made it sexual in a way. Instead of them being like, this is just my body, I'm a woman, it was like, because I'm insecure, you could see like almost all those fears and the shame they talked about before, like could see it in their like body, which was, I found like really, I guess in a woman, like proud of what they were doing, but really sad.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think the ending was surprising, but also almost made you want to cry. Like, it, you know, like, just because of the, you know, you could tell that the shame isn't necessarily coming from them or the film, but it's like outside forces that are like, you know.
And it's interesting. I think at the, like, the beginning of the film, even though they all showed up for like a casting call for an adult film, I feel like a lot of them wouldn't have taken this portrait. And so by opening up and talking about things, I think it allowed them to feel more comfortable. Like, as we say, like, it's a safer space. But it was just sad because it's like, yeah, it didn't erase any of the fears. Like, you know, I don't know if maybe it's that just because it's the age of women, but of women, like, because I think most women are like late teens to mid 30s. They didn't really go that far beyond that. But yeah, the end was pretty devastating, which I guess is in one way, like, yeah, we haven't solved any of these problems. So let's not stamp it with like a, oh, womanhood and our sexuality has been solved.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say beyond, I just think that both of these films are worth watching. And, you know, I think Smokes on a Sisterhood is one of my favorite documentaries of the past couple of years, for sure. Maybe one of my favorites of all time. And Venus is a very special film. But, you know, they're very different approaches. And one attracts me as a filmmaker more, but both of them have such beautiful, powerful moments that I think they're both films worth visiting.
And yeah, I think it is, like, I'm not a man, but important for, yeah, men to watch these.
So I'll just say that does it for this episode of A Documentary Podcast. If you liked the show, you can follow us at A Documentary Podcast. Go to adocumentarypodcast.com. And you can follow me at Joshua LaBure on Instagram or Threads.
And you did Threads.
I did.
What do you think of that?
It's great.
Well, we hate Twitter. I hate Twitter, so maybe I'll...
I have never been on Twitter because I never had any followers, but I already have like 300 followers or something like that on Threads. Wow. So...
And then I can be followed. I'm going to reactivate my film photography account because I've taken like 8 rolls of film in the last couple months. So I'll post some photos soon, but it's at CMS Moments.
Beautiful. Yeah, go see those movies. Have fun, everybody.
Yes, definitely recommend.
Have a great time.
Yeah. Well, be ready to feel.